All right, it is almost 7 o'clock, so I will be brief tonight. If you have a handout there in front of you, we'll look again at Chronicles chapter number 29, 1 Chronicles 29. So we continue our study on honoring our Father. And as you make your way there, well, this would not be a Baptist church without an offering, would it? Yeah. I'm ready to preach. The guys are up there holding up the offering plate. Preacher, God, ready for the offering. Come on, guys. It wasn't written down in the order of service, so I didn't know what to do. Someone's going to take away my Baptist card from me. All right, Brother Enoch, would you ask God's blessings upon our offering, please?
Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we give you the honor and glory. This is a purpose that we're here this evening, every Sunday, every Wednesday, to honor and glorify your name, Father. What a privilege it is, Father, that you being the Almighty God, we have that privilege, we that have received you as Lord and Savior, to call you our Father. And Father, this opportunity you give to those that don't know you either. What a privilege this evening, Lord. A foretaste of what it'll be in heaven, Lord. This evening, my eyes got watery. They started to sweat. And I'm sure that many of us also, our eyes were sweating as we heard Tony and Marlene play, and then Crystal sing, and then Marlene again by herself, and Christina and Michelle. Father, many people don't know the pain that these women are going through. Michelle will be having surgery, yet she's always smiling. Christina has a chronic illness that if you do not intervene, she'll probably be going home. But she's always smiling, and the encouragement that she is, she's a living testimony, Lord, of what you have done in our lives here on earth. Father, I don't know, and I won't demand nothing from you, but I've been fasting for her. Just like Hezekiah, Lord, that was going to die, and you gave him 15 more years, Lord. And I'm not saying I don't know, but Lord, it would be a blessing if you lend us Christina 15 more years, Lord. May she be used for your honor and glory. But you know her way, Lord. So be with her. And Father, in hearing the testimonies of Amber and Melvin, John, Glenn, Clay, and Agnes, Father, what a blessing, Lord. If that does not encourage us, I don't know what will. Father, thank you for the visitors that you brought this day. You brought Don's friend, and then Kobe and Maddie, Lord. And this morning you allowed Clay and Cindy to become members, Lord, and may you use them for your honor and glory. Father, may this evening, may we not only give the tithes and offerings that belong to you, Lord, because what can we give you that doesn't already belong to you? But that you give us, Lord, we give it with all our hearts, and may you use it for your honor and glory. Father, we pray that not only our tithes and offerings, but our talents that you have given us, may we use them here at Harvest Baptist. May we do the best for you here so that when you call us home, Lord, you will tell us, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Father, bless everything that goes on, the fellowship and everything that goes on this evening, and we'll give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen. Thank you.
All right, 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we have been looking at honoring God over the last several weeks. We've honored to God when God's word is weightless, when God's word is not weightless, and tonight we'll look at a little further about honoring our Father. And we started that last week, and we'll touch on a little more tonight, and I'll finish it up on another Wednesday on this aspect of honoring our Father. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29, 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, 'Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, and praise thy glorious name." Here we see in our passage that King David couldn't contain himself concerning his father, and nor should we. We have an opportunity to praise the Lord. We have an opportunity to give testimony. Man, we are to be ready, as we used to say, with bated breath, ready to say, "Hey, God is so good. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me." And I think I may have given this illustration before, but years ago, before cell phones and you had pictures, you kind of opened your wallet and did this and they all, you remember those days? How many of y'all old enough to remember that? Yeah. We are ready to brag on the family, brag on the kids, brag on the grandchildren, all those good things. So, folks, we have an opportunity to brag on the Lord. We are to be ready. Or to be ready with a story about God's goodness. Here again, King David couldn't contain himself. So, dear friends, why should we honor the Father? Last week we looked at, because he is almighty. And tonight, number two, because he is long-suffering. Amen. Well, aren't you glad that he's long-suffering, patient? Boy, I tell you what, I am so grateful that the Lord is not only still working on me, but he's patient with me. Numbers 14 and verse 18 say, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." Then again, in Psalm 86, we have it there in your handout, in verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth." Amen. Isn't it wonderful that he is so long-suffering and patient with us and loving toward us? He was long-suffering. Here's a few examples. He was long-suffering when Adam and Eve disobeyed him in the garden. He was long-suffering when Abraham and Sarah laughed at the promise of a son. He was long-suffering when Israel rejected him and chose other gods. And then again, he was long-suffering when Peter denied his only begotten son and yet also cursed him three times. What does this mean for you and me? It means that he is patient and that his love can never end. Amen. Never end. Even when we may have blushed when we spoke of being a believer, even when we lost our temper, reverted to our old ways of the flesh, done what we said that we would never do again, and we do it, but yet still his love never ends toward us. Don't misunderstand me. As I mentioned this morning, we don't continue to sin that grace may abound. The Bible says, God forbid. But when we do, he forgives us. Well, I tell you what. The first verse I ever memorized was, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." But there's another verse of Scripture that I learned at a young age as well. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is written to the believer. Amen. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 2 says, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts." Even though they behaved the way they did, he still, his love never ended. How often have we desired to be a help to someone who really didn't want to be helped? Ever been there? I tell you what, sometimes it feels that way when you're raising a teenager. Jenna, don't grow up. Stay a preteen. Don't be a teenager. Don't ever be a teenager. It's hard. It's hard to be a teenager. It's hard raising kids. But I tell you, that love for a mom, for a child, is never ending, but it's nothing compared to our Heavenly Father's love toward us. You see, God doesn't rely upon our faithfulness to Him. Bear with me here. God doesn't rely upon our faithfulness to Him. He relies upon His own faithfulness. He relies upon His own faithfulness. Amen. I am so glad that He is good at what He does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Boy, isn't it wonderful to know God, where God leads, He provides. Where God calls, He equips, if we just make ourselves available. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Boy, what a blessing. We should be grateful that God's position toward us is based on His ability. His ability. See, it's not about us. His ability to accomplish that which we could never accomplish. Dear friends, if you knew me, before God called me to preach, I've told the story before of Miss Lawson, who had a part of me being saved. She had me in the nursery. I always teased her. She loved me so much. When I left the nursery, she went into children's church just to be with me. That wasn't true. She was growing in her faith, and she wanted to be more involved. But I made it personal. I love Miss Lawson. And I tell you, she had a great impact on me coming to know the Lord Jesus. But the Lord used her. And I remember years later, I got saved there at the old church at Dixon Boulevard Baptist Church. Years later, moving away, and many years later, coming back on staff to the church I got saved in. And Miss Lawson was still there. And she said, every once in a while I'd tease her, and she'd remind me, "Hey, buddy, I used to change your diapers." But she said, "You know, God is so good, and He's so gracious." She said, "Preacher, I love you. But I never would have thought in a million years God would have called you to preach and use you the way He is. Never in a million years. That's God. It's not me. That's all God. That's what He calls, He provides, He leads, He directs, He encourages, and He empowers to use us." Yes, let's go a little further tonight. Why should we honor the Father? Because He is almighty, because He is long-suffering, and then thirdly and lastly tonight, because He is righteous and just. Because He is righteous and just. That's right. It's hard, but only God could be righteous and just the way He is. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, as Abraham complained, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Think about that for a moment. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Sometimes we may not understand. Sometimes and I've heard lately, having my grandchildren around so much more, I've heard the phrase, "That's not fair," 100 times in the last week and a half. That's not fair. Folks, life's not fair. I tell my granddaughters, build a bridge and get over it. The bottom line is, life isn't fair, but God is just and God is righteous. And sometimes it may not seem fair, but God knows exactly what He's doing. This question, this aspect, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Does this mean that my father is never merciful? No, we know that He is. He is full of mercy. No, it means that He is merciful and just in a righteous, consistent way. Not in an arbitrary or subjective way. See, God's compassion flows out of His goodness. And goodness without justice is not good. God spares us because He is good, but He could not be good if He was not just. I'll try to explain this if I can. What if God said, "Just let everyone come to heaven? La-di-da-di, everybody." See, He would violate His justice and He would cease to be good. God can be both just and merciful. Look at your notes. Psalm 89 and verse 14. "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Psalm 85 and verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now, let's look at some more scripture that helps us see both this aspect of the just and mercy. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He provides justice, what is just, and he also provides mercy. And we have the privilege of choosing to face the consequences of our sin or falling under mercy and outside of the wages of sin that we might have eternal life. This verse helps demonstrate both justice and mercy of my Father. And dear friends, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that our Father in heaven is full of justice and mercy and that we can honor him for who he is. You see, sin has a price. We're all sinners. We talked about that this morning. Justice must be met because of the inequity of mankind. We don't measure up to God's standard of righteousness. A price must be paid for unrighteousness. The just and the mercy. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And then in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, a just God showing mercy. He provided a way. He provided a way out. He provided a way of escape. He provided the penalty of sin through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He provided mercy, though justice is still there for those who reject him. Again, we see both the justice and mercy of God. Dear friends, I don't know about you, but can you think of any other one that you would want to honor in honoring your Heavenly Father for what he has done for us? Folks, I am grateful, grateful to live in a land, to have been brought up in a family where I got to know Christ as my personal Savior. Another pet peeve, and I'm almost finished. Not only did I get so frustrated hearing that word, that's not fair. We all get frustrated. Oh, you don't understand. Or, my mom and dad are mean. That's not fair. I always used to tell my kids, and I'd ask the question, does God make mistakes? And the answer is always no. So did God make a mistake when he put you in this family? Did God make a mistake because I'm your daddy and mama is your mama? No, daddy, but I still don't think it's fair. But trying to explain to a child, folks, God is just and he is merciful. And dear friends, I think many a times God displayed his mercy in my life and for me when I deserve justice. And that, it's just so hard to explain. I'll close with this thought. Justice equals or means that sin must be paid for. Jesus did that. He alone. Mercy means that shows us that Christ died for us. Jesus did that as well. And dear friends, we are not to judge, but we can display mercy. We cannot forgive sins, nor can any man in any faith or any religion can forgive sins. I'm sorry, it's a lie of the devil. No man can forgive sins, but only God can. And he has made a way. But the one thing that God does that we may never fully understand that we can partake of and be like him is we can display and show mercy toward others. Folks, sometimes it's hard, but I would hope and ask the Lord it would help me to show mercy toward others in the same way that God has showed mercy toward me. Are we honoring the Father? He is almighty. He is long-suffering, but he is righteous and just. And because of these things, he is worthy of our honor. He is worthy of all praise. And dear friends, every time we have an opportunity, we should brag on him. This morning and tonight, and I'll close with this illustration. Once again, I've worn my Tennessee tie. Because Tennessee squeaked out. No, they won good this time. They won another game. I may not have the opportunity to wear the tie again. But that's not going to persuade me from being a fan of the Tennessee Volunteers. It's where I grew up. That's just part of me. It's my nature. During the season, I wear my baseball jersey and hat sometimes. It strikes up conversations. But, you know, I have to make sure that I keep a balance as a pastor, that I'm just as vocal about who I am in Christ. I make sure that I change that conversation because I'm wearing my hat or wearing a hoodie and somebody comes by and says, "Hey, I'm from Tennessee. Are you just a fan or are you from there?" I always do the best that I can that somewhere in the conversation I lead it back to Christ. Because he is the ultimate one that I should be the most proud of, the one I should honor the most. I might be a fan of the Tennessee Volunteers, but dear friends, I'm a super fan of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Pray that you dismiss us as we go over to the fellowship hall, that you'd bless the food, bless the fellowship. Thank you for those who participated in helping set things up and bring food in. Father, would you just bless our fellowship, bless the conversation. May you be glorified in all that is said and done. And Father, thank you for the facilities that we have to enjoy a cool room tonight during the service and going over to a nice cool room and tables and chairs and air conditioning that we can enjoy the time together, Father. Help us to not take for those things for granted that you have provided and given to your children. And Father, help us to honor you in that which we say and do. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. As always, this preacher loves you, and the Lord loves you, of course. Anything I can do, please don't hesitate to ask. Let's go make our way over to the fellowship hall. They think things are partially set up already. We've already prayed, so we can enjoy the food and the fellowship. God bless you. You're dismissed.